It is hour number two of the big show tonight. Ravens, Titans, 6:30 on Channel 2 if you want to watch that. Titans beat writer for the Tennessean, Ben Arthur, joins us from Baltimore. Ben, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Benjamin, good morning, sir. How was your travels to Baltimore?
Good morning, y'all. Yeah, it was a mess, man, to be honest. I was supposed to get to Baltimore around like 3:30 in the afternoon. I didn't end up getting to Baltimore until 10.
Wow.
I had a canceled flight, like 6 flight delays, 5 gate changes.
Man.
It was a mess. I was so exhausted when I landed, so.
And that's the thing, because you're probably thinking, oh, I get there at 3:30, I can get a workout in, go out and get a nice meal, relax, you know, and then, you know, get ready to cover the game tonight, and then you're dealing with this travel garbage.
Yeah, it was nuts. I'm just glad I made it, honestly.
All right, well, you mind if I start, Greg?
No, I was just, can I tell a story? Baltimore, do they still, because first time I ever went to Baltimore was the very last game at Memorial Stadium, Old Memorial Stadium. The Titans, maybe they were Oilers, I don't know what they were at the time, but I was the beat writer. Mm-hmm. And like 2 minutes before halftime, this wonderful smell is going all through the press box. And they're cooking crab cakes in the press box for the halftime meal. And they've done that several other times since I'd been up there. I don't know, Ben, if you know or not, if they still do that. But, I mean, crab cakes cooked for the media at halftime. Uh-huh. There you go.
Well, that's something I'm looking forward to. I've actually never been to M&T Bank Stadium.
Oh, you'll love it.
So, I mean, that would definitely make me forget about all the issues I had yesterday with, like, some good crab cakes. So.
It's a really cool stadium, you know, Ben. I went there every year for Steelers-Ravens when I worked in Pittsburgh. And it's like a college atmosphere. It really is. The fans are kind of right on top of you. It's like a sea of purple. I think it's one of the better stadiums in terms of atmosphere in the NFL, quite frankly.
Well, Baltimore, the Inner Harbor is nice. You can get you some crab cakes for lunch today. You venture out very far from the Inner Harbor, you're in trouble.
Well, yeah, let me
in
tell
Baltimore,
you,
I'm telling you.
You venture out a couple of blocks from M&T Bank Stadium, and you're in trouble.
Yeah. Just be careful.
Like I said, I went there a lot. We've talked about the food now. Let's talk about some
trying to help Ben.
There you go. Probably not going to see a lot of starters tonight, I would guess. I know Vrabel was kind of noncommittal about that, but we're not going to see Tannehill. Obviously, Derrick Henry didn't even make the trip, right? I mean, what do you think we'll see tonight in terms of starters, if any play?
Yeah, we're not going to. I mean, there may be a couple guys from the ones who play, but I'm not really expecting to see any of those guys. Derrick, Tannehill, as you said, they shouldn't be playing. This is really going to be for the young guys, the rookie draft picks, the UDFAs, and kind of those position battles that we still have. That we're still trying to get clarity on, right? Like, so cornerback, I expect Caleb Farley to play, you know, just because, like, he hasn't played that much football in the last 3 years. He's kind of expected to be the starter opposite Christian Fulton, but he just hasn't played a lot of football, and obviously he's coming off the ACL injury, and he's been working his way back, and so I expect to see him out there. And Roger McCreary, I mean, those guys are really in a tight battle in my eyes for that cornerback spot. Rogers looked fantastic in camp, so those guys will obviously get a lot of action. I expect Dylan Raidens to play. Kind of came into this year as the penciled-in right tackle, but I don't think he has a stranglehold on that job. We've seen Nicholas Petit-Frere get some more snaps as of late, and Mike Vrabel has said that Nick Petit-Frere is kind of Dylan's main challenger right now. So I expect those guys to get a lot of run. I'm really excited to see a lot of those second-year players to kind of see the growth they've made. Mm-hmm. Racy McMath is a guy who's kind of opened everyone's eyes as kind of a vertical threat in training camp practices. Like, can he take that to the game? I'm going to keep a close eye on him. Des Fitzpatrick, Rashad Weaver, if you remember, just had a dominant preseason opener last year against the Falcons. I mean, he just completely wrecked that offensive line, and he's coming off of a season-ending injury of his own, so I expect him to get a lot of run as well. So, a lot of the rookies' draft picks I'm going to be keeping an eye on, but some of those second-year guys that I mentioned, I expect them to play a lot as well.
Des Fitzpatrick, that jumped out at me because that's obviously a former draft pick, mm-hmm. and that seems to be a numbers crunch at that position. Is he on the outside looking in? Because you really think Racy McMath is really pushed ahead of him. Is
right,
he,
and like you said, based on the fact that he can also help you on teams as
right,
well.
Right, and he looks the part.
Yeah.
So is Des on the bubble, on the bad side of the bubble, on the bubble, or pretty secure?
I mean, honestly, if you ask me, I think he's pretty secure. I mean, you look, I mean, the back end depth is something we've talked a lot about kind of with the wide receiver room since training camp started. And, you know, Des is a guy who's made a lot of strides, since the end of last season. You hear Rob Moore, Todd Downing, Mike Vrabel, his wide receiver teammates talk about him, and they talk so much about the growth he's made, the maturity. I remember Tannehill saying kind of his embracement of the kind of the little details now. And he's made some nice plays in practices. So you look at kind of the strides he's made and kind of the concerns at the back end. I mean, I think there's no doubt that he'll be on the roster. I mean, I think, as you guys mentioned, Racy McMath is certainly ahead of him. He was a core special teamer last year. And if he kind of does in this regular season what he's done in training camp practices, I mean, he's pretty much like your number four receiver probably. But the way I look at it, Des Fitzpatrick is going to be on this team, and the Titans are going to give him every chance to contribute offensively. So I say he's in there.
Ben Arthur is our guest, Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. How about Malik Willis? How much do you think he plays tonight, and what would you like to see from him?
Yeah, I think he plays a lot. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to play, so I imagine Logan Woodside will get one half, and Malik Willis will get the other half. And, you know, he's probably one of the guys I'm most excited to play because, you know, he's had a lot of ups and downs in practices. We've kind of seen those wow throws, but we've also seen some of the head-scratching ones as well. I mean, he has all the talent in the world, but I think the decision making, the timing with his receivers, kind of the operation, the command of the huddle, all those things we're going to be watching for against Baltimore. So he's going to play a lot, and right now he's kind of my QB3. I mean, you have Tannehill, and then I think Logan Woodside is kind of that trusted backup right now, but
right.
I think Malik has a chance to maybe eat into some of those reps. I mean, if you ask me now, they're going to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, but depending on how Malik plays, I mean, if he kind of blows the top off, I mean, I think there's a world where it's just going to be he and Tannehill on the 53. So
wow.
Malik is probably going to be one of the guys I expect to play the most.
But aren't we set up to make too much out of it one way or the other? If he comes out and goes 7 for 10, 180, and 2 TDs, then if he sucks, we go, man.
But I think what Ben is talking about is absolutely right. I want to see the mechanics. I want to see his command of the huddle. I want to see, you know, can he get guys lined up?
The reads,
are there no pre-snap penalties when he's under center?
Yeah.
That's the stuff we need to look at, right? The other stuff, you know, they can work on, correct?
Exactly. And that's why I think regardless of what happens today, like there shouldn't be too much of a reaction. Even if Malik plays incredible, right, you still have more practices. You still have joint practices coming up with two really good teams. You have two more preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much the whole we're looking kind of at his whole resume through training camp and preseason. So that's what Mike Vrabel, Todd Downing, Pat O'Hara, that's what they're going to be looking at, right? They're obviously looking very closely at this game, but you have to look at the entire sample size. And today is really his biggest interview, so to speak, mm-hmm. to date, of just kind of Kenny Handel.
Like a practical exam, right?
That, exactly. All the ups and downs and the leadership responsibilities of being a quarterback. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Well, and if you're a Titans fan, these three games, probably hopefully for the Titans, the only time you see him this year, if you're a fan, right? Because you don't want him.
Yeah.
You don't want to see him in the regular season, except maybe mop up, or if even if you know, even
part,
if it,
part yeah. of me thinks if Tannehill went down, I'd rather see Willis in there than Woodside.
I don't know.
I know Woodside knows the offense, and they really like him. Ben, I wanted to ask you about.
But I mean, if he stays healthy,
you don't want
Willis to play,
right? Exactly. Yeah. That means something went horribly wrong. Right. If Willis is out there playing, and your season's probably in jeopardy, but. Ben, I wanted to ask you about all these crazy national reports, quote unquote, about Treylon Burks. Obviously, another guy we're going to be keeping our eyes on tonight. Excited to see what he can do. You know, listen, you're the beat writer. You're out there every day. What have you seen from Treylon Burks? Because I haven't been out there every day, but every day I've been out there, he looks good. He looks like he's in shape and he's made plays.
Yeah, Treylon Burks has looked really good. I don't know exactly how all those rumors started. I think kind of a report was taken out of context, and some maybe national people took it out of context. But yeah, Treylon Burks has looked really good. He's looked great at times. We all know the rough offseason he had between the asthma issues and the conditioning concerns. But since day one of training camp, he's really turned it around. He's slimmer. He's said he's healthier, and he's made plays in one-on-ones, 7-on-7. Team periods, really able to build that rapport with Tannehill, and he's gotten looks with the other quarterbacks too. But I mean, I've been really pleased with what he's done, and so obviously, along with Malik, he's going to be one of the guys we're going to look the most at. And it's like, okay, you've shown some good things since training camp started. Like, all right, now the lights are on. It's preseason, but still, like, how are you going to? How are you going to perform? You know, how are you going to respond to getting challenged at the line of scrimmage? Is that physicality? So many people are talking about it. Arkansas, is that going to show? And breaking tackles and whatnot. So yeah, Treylon has looked fine. Anything you're hearing otherwise is simply not true. So yeah, it's just going to be kind of about what is he going to do tonight? And so that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Ben Arthur is our guest, Titans beat writer for the Tennessean, and obviously Kyle Phillips, that's Greg Pogue's guy, and, you know, has looked really good as that quick slot receiver, right? And he's gotten some significant practice time with the ones. He's another guy we need to look at tonight as well, correct?
Absolutely, and I remember Kyle Phillips, like, he was like the star of, like, the first day of rookie minicamp back in May, but then he kind of cooled off. And then kind of after a couple days in training camp, you kind of started to see it, you know, like just that ability to get open. He's won like probably like 90% of his one-on-one matchups, it seems. He's gotten open in sevens and in team periods. Ryan Tannehill has a lot of trust in him at this point. There was an instance at practice when, and a lot of people have talked about this, but when Kyle kind of ran. There's some sort of miscommunication or mental error on Kyle's part.
Right.
Tannehill kind of confronted him about it and then went back to him for a touchdown. And so when you have kind of that situation with your quarterback and he has that faith in you to kind of go back to you knowing that you're going to make a play, I mean, I think that shows a lot about what Kyle Phillips has shown, you know, his teammates and the coaches. And so he's another guy that I'm going to be looking really closely at. I mean, in Kyle Phillips, you potentially have your slot receiver of the future. I mean, he's such an incredible route runner. He's so crisp, getting in and out of breaks. He's a smart player, seems to recognize man and when he's seeing man or zone coverage. And knowing how to exploit the guy in front of him. And so I'm really looking forward to watching him play tonight today.
Yeah, when you talk about Tannehill doing that and others and he's more assertive and all. Well, when five of his top six receivers are new, theoretically. Doesn't he have
and
to be?
And he being a 34-year-old veteran quarterback, yeah. he kind of has to
right.
take charge, right?
And everybody, oh, he's more assertive. He's more confident. I mean, come on.
But he has looked good, right, Ben? He's looked really good in camp.
Yeah, he has. He has looked good. And again, like, Tano has always been a leader, I think. We don't, like, kind of like you guys are saying, we don't want to make a big deal out of, like, him showing instances of leadership, because I think he's kind of always been that since he got to Tennessee in 2019. But yeah, it's definitely looked a lot cleaner. I remember last training camp, there were just a ton of interceptions. And I think to this point, he only has two. And those just kind of came recently. And that's a really good sign, right? Because as you guys said, so many of the pass catchers he's working with are new. He's really working with a lot of these guys for the first time. So the fact that there hasn't been, that many, turnovers, interceptions, I mean, that's a great sign. So Tannehill has looked great.
So the Ravens have won how many straight preseason games? Like, Harbaugh takes this very seriously, doesn't he?
He does. I actually don't have the
I think it's 20 or 21.
I know it's in the double digits.
Yeah, it's like 20 or 21, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously the preseason isn't necessarily about winning, but whenever you go out to play, you want to win. And I'm sure Mike Vrabel kind of downplayed that. I remember him being asked about that. He kind of downplayed that. But I'm sure they would love to kind of end that streak tonight, especially knowing the history the Titans and the Ravens have, like in the playoffs.
Is this the first time they've met in the preseason? I thought I read that somewhere.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Wow. How about that? They've had some legendary playoff games in regular season.
All right. Let's get back down to business. Okay, guys?
Crab cakes again?
Yeah, I'm trying to help the man out here, okay? Are you staying on the Inner Harbor? Are you in the Inner Harbor area?
I am.
Okay, because I know where the team hotel usually is. You are within walking distance of Phillips Seafood in the Inner Harbor. If you want to get out and walk around today, they're 100 years old on the Inner Harbor, and the best crab cakes you'll maybe outside of Legal Seafoods in Boston. Phillips, okay? You'll thank me. Phillips Seafood, trust me.
Got it, Greg. Thanks for the rec.
No. Hey, don't placate me. You'll thank me later, okay?
Okay, I will. And I have to tell you, like, in terms of, like, seafood, crab cakes, all that kind of thing, I mean, my expectations are really high because I'm from Seattle, so, you know, if these crab cakes aren't good, you're going to hear about it. So.
Well, here's the deal. Usually crab cakes have too much of the breading and everything. These, they set them on your plate, they actually just fall apart. There's so much crab meat in them. So I'm just telling you. And it's a different kind of Seattle crab, too. The blue crab, you know, that they, you know, okay. The soft shell, you know. I don't know if it's time to eat soft shell or not, but trust me on Phillips, okay? As a matter of fact, you can buy Phillips in the airport there. You can also buy it in grocery stores here.
Wow.
How about that? There Phillips crab cakes. Yeah. That's how big they are.
Benjamin, we appreciate you coming on, brother. Enjoy the game tonight. Safe travels home.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
yeah.